broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Happy to have you along. I am Sam Bushman, Dr. Scott Bradley with me. This is hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. This is a freedom-loving, fantastic, faith-filled, we're taking America back one heart, one mind, one issue at a time Friday. It is the broadcast for February the 18th, and our goal to promote God, family, and country, and protect life, liberty, and property using the supreme law of the land, the Constitution, and the traditions of our founding fathers, rejecting revolution, standing for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Doctor, welcome back, sir.
Well, thank you, all of that fanfare for a little introduction. It's exciting to be here. I hope everybody's as excited as we are for being able to speak the truth and stand for liberty and be kind of a different voice out there with all of the contrary voices and the media hype and it seems like, well, you know, Malachi talks about the wicked and the proud and everybody, how they seem to always be upheld and sustained and everything like that. And those that are really trying hard feel like they don't have a voice. I don't know. I mean, I don't know how long it's been since you've talked about that, but to tell you the truth, yeah, I take some comfort in Malachi's statement, because I think when the time comes, God is going to let everyone know who his jewels are, and everybody that's kind of had the power to strangle anything else out is going to be exposed for what they are. So,
amen to that. So Chris Carlson last hour, Chris Carlson made an interesting point. He said, what a messed up world we live in. We are seeing the fulfillment of Isaiah 5:20. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Isaiah 5:20 or Matthew 23:24. Ye blind guides, which strains at gnats and swallow a camel. Anyway, it goes on. But all I'm telling you is he's right as rain on this. We have got a problem with the truth. On one hand, they mock us about fake news. On the other hand, the more truth we tell, the more they claim we're peddling fake news. But they're peddling fake news. They're peddling an agenda. They're peddling an agenda, ladies and gentlemen, that does this. Divide everybody on every fault lane you can find. Eventually, the goal is to attack any Christian beliefs or anyone who has those beliefs. Any doctrine that would defend God, family, and country, they will attack. And sadly, there are good people who are falling into this trap and going along unwittingly, unrealizing that they're being betrayed, ladies and gentlemen, on the altar of this, let's eventually go for the Christians, Dr. Bradley.
You know, it's interesting. The Nazi propaganda minister, Joseph Goebbels, talked about telling a lie big enough and long enough, and it became truth. And basically, what we have is big tech collaborating with the establishment agenda, if you will, and basically standing up for them, closing down any discussion, any exchange, anything that would be able to have a varying viewpoint from what the establishment is. And many of us that have been shut down, deplatformed, and marginalized by this whole process are very much finding it's frustration that comes upon us. And let me just talk briefly about Malachi chapter 3, starting with verse 13. The Lord says, your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord, yet ye say, what have we spoken so much against thee? You know, I mean, some of the people are griping and complaining, like me, I have to admit. And then verse 14 says, ye have said, it is vain to serve God, and what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance, and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? Now ye call the proud happy, yea, they that work wickedness are set up, yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. Then they that feared the Lord spake one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for these things that feared the Lord, for them that feared the Lord, and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them, as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. So what we have here is a very frustrating time in history, when all the proud and they that are wickedly, they're upheld, they're sustained, they're basically given a pass, if you will, at every single turn. And those of us that try, you know, are in our small way that we can bring to the marketplace, if you will, truth and another position, are crushed at every turn. And you know, it's happened a lot of times. I mean, it happened, well, let's look back in 100 years ago, a little more than that, when World War I was going on, and those that spoke up against Woodrow Wilson were crushed. They were imprisoned. Their mail was intercepted. I mean, now it's so easy to do with a few clicks of a mouse. You can shut down discussion. Look at what happened with Abraham Lincoln and his jailing of newspaper editors that didn't agree with him and putting people in jail. I mean, jailing an entire state legislature because they were not on board with his agenda. I mean, these kind of tyrants have always existed. Look at Trudeau up in Canada. He's using all the force of his government to crush another viewpoint. And so, yeah, it's a very frustrating time, but I have faith that ultimately and finally the truth will prevail. And so I have in front of me all the time. While we're speaking here right now, I have a statement made by George Washington in front of me. It's always there. There's but one straight course, and that is to seek truth and pursue it steadily. And it's a time when truth is pretty rarely exposed in the great media outlets. The falsehoods have become truisms based upon the philosophy that was put forth by the Nazi war propaganda machine. Propaganda prevails, and we just need to be discerning and trusting in God. Our spirits need to be attuned to the whisperings of the Holy Spirit, and press forward in the best light and knowledge we've got. And I fear a lot of good people are being cast aside. We're being abandoned, if you will. But yet and still, ultimately and finally, God will not abandon us. But we have the days of 1984 where Winston Smith sat in the Ministry of Truth and put things down the memory hole that were never, they were not accepted by the establishment, and therefore they didn't exist. And that's where we are right now. The spin that's on all of these things is just appalling. But in a way, if we were scripturally, you know, aware, we knew that these days are here. And as was mentioned when you mentioned Isaiah 5, you know, really, good is called evil and evil is called good. And we're in those days. And that should be, in a way, exciting for us to know that, well, okay, it's time to make our choice. Choose ye this day. And we need to press forward in that light, I think. Rather
amen
than
to that. It's also interesting, sadly, we're being attacked, us truth seekers, those who are trying to do the best. It's no different than the history of the world. You know, Martin Luther, and I don't mean King, I just mean Martin Luther, you know, and others stood up for what was right and were considered heretics and everything in their day as well. And it's no different in our day. Sadly, though, today, even the churches, though, are attacking freedom fighters such as us, attacking individuals who stand up on true principle and seek for truth such as us, and they wrongly attack us. But then, hey, we got a big dearth of religion in America. People are leaving churches in droves, and I submit to you that it's all primarily because of this. You got the churches because of 501(c) tax status that are literally afraid to speak out, and they'll basically virtually, let me say that again, virtually hang someone who doesn't stay on the reservation or doesn't speak or act in a way that they deem preserving of their tax status. And so oftentimes the churches are attacking people as well in the media. And I look at that and I just say, you know, what a shame it is. And it makes it very confusing for people. Sadly, they leave religions thinking that they're going to find a holy grail elsewhere. They won't. But where do you turn? What are we to do? Where do you turn in that kind of a scenario? Anyway, I bring that up a little bit because it kind of connects us with the last hour, and it'll connect us to the topic after the break as well, Dr. Bradley. Uh-oh, we'll get Dr. Bradley back here in a minute. So the topic I mentioned that we'll talk about after the break that relates directly to this is a hidden camera, ladies and gentlemen. A hidden camera, FDA, that's the Food and Drug Administration, an executive at the FDA on hidden camera discloses Biden will require annual COVID shots. Not formally announced, because they don't want to rile everybody up. ArtMoreWND.com is the piece we're going to discuss after the break. I've got a big soundbite to play about the undercover video. Yeah, FDA executive Christopher Cole is the guy we're talking about in a hidden camera interview with a Project Veritas journalist. Yeah, tells the tale on this. This is very serious. Yeah. Hidden camera. The truth comes out. Who will stand with the truth on this, ladies and gentlemen? That's the real question for you. Doesn't the truth make men free? Isn't the truth something that all Christians seek? Dr. Scott Bradley with me and continues in seconds on your radio.
I really don't want to talk about this, but I will. I'm just so mad. I didn't get asked to the junior prom and it's raining, which means by the time I get to school, I'm soaking wet. Dad picked me up just after I left and I was so mad I got out and he said, wait, your mom said to give you this. I forgot my lunch money and then I dropped it in the water and I was late for history and so at lunchtime I had to find something on John Stuart Mill, which of course our library didn't have. So I had to walk all the way down to the office to call my mom and she found something on the internet and called me back. And Karen, she wouldn't even help me and that's a whole nother story. But Dad helped me conjugate nouns or whatever on the way to the swim team workout and then he read my history paper while I was in the pool and of course I forgot the bibliography, so I had to do that with my mother when I got home, and it made me totally forget that I put my jeans in the washer that morning, and I hate it when they sit wet like that all day and smell like mildew, but my mom said she put them in the dryer while I was at the swim team, and you know, I'm just not gonna go to the prom, no matter who asks me. I just wanna stay home with my mom and dad.
Family.
And just hang out.
Isn't it about time?
Unless Dustin asks me.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
As you all know, Roe versus Wade has resulted in some of the most permissive abortion laws anywhere in the world. For example, in the United States, it's one of only seven countries to allow elective late-term abortions, along with China, North Korea, and others. Right now, in a number of states, the laws allow a baby to be born from his or her mother's womb in the ninth month. It is wrong. It has to change. Americans are more and more pro-life. You see that all the time. In fact, only 12% of Americans support abortion on demand at any time. Under my administration, we will always defend the very first right in the Declaration of Independence, and that is the right to life.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we had a little glitch with a button. Dr. Bradley was speaking and, well, he was on mute. So we'll come right back to the topic at hand. I was saying that churches, that sadly, because of 501c3 status and everything else, they don't want to lose their tax-exempt status, so they'll literally virtually hang anybody if they have to, let somebody out to dry, if you will, because they don't want to get caught in this and lose their tax-exempt status. You've also got a politically correct reality in America, too, where the culture war is happening. And a lot of people, even churches, are picking the wrong side of this culture war and attacking truth seekers like you wouldn't believe, Dr. Bradley.
You know, it's interesting to me that the churches really have, in so many ways, become not all churches, but far too many that have become instruments of the movement to crush. It seems to me almost like churches are vying in a beauty contest to become the Church of the New World Order, the Church of the Beast, if you will, that will sweep across the world. And this preeminence and prominence that they're seeking for, I think, comes at great cost. And I think back in the primitive church, as the, after the Savior's mortal ministry and his resurrection, and I think back, Acts chapter 5 comes to mind about Peter and John being taken before the powers that be, and they said to him, did we not straitly command you that you should not teach of this name? And behold, you've filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Now, how such a short time ago they'd say his blood be upon us and our posterity. I mean, their rabble was just rabid at the time. And then Peter and the other apostle answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. And they skipped down a few verses, and they agreed. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And then Peter and John departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. So here we have an example out of the primitive church about the heck you say. We're going to do what we need to do to stand true with God. And far too many are capitulating. And these are very prominent, preeminent, and high-profile churches. And I fear lest the time is upon us when very often we seek for the praise of men, prominent men, and until we've turned our back on Christ. We worship at the COVID altar, for example. We call our saviors the physicians, the scientists, the researchers, the politicians, the big pharma company. We don't look to our Savior. And it reminds me of Ephesians chapter 6. And I know we can take a lot of time doing a scripture chase here, but we are. It's time to put on the whole armor of God, because the wiles of the devil have become so mainstream that even the churches in the most prominent, preeminent positions oftentimes set aside a mantle that they should be courageous enough to carry to say, no. I mean, you look at our right to worship. There's no sub-clause in there that says, oh, unless there's a virus that comes along, unless there's a public official that says otherwise. What did Peter and John say? No, is it better to follow God or to follow you? And you know,
amen to that reality check, ladies and gentlemen. Now, this vaccine undercover camera really highlights a lot of this. I'm going to let you hear this, then we'll come back with Dr. Bradley and talk about it in context of what we've laid out already. Here is the James O'Keefe undercover video details with this executive.
Meet Christopher Cole, an executive officer at the FDA with over 20 years' experience who claims to be directly involved in the approval process of the various COVID vaccines. What you're about to witness raises some alarming concerns from the government's desire to mandate an annual vaccine for everyone, including young children, to the billions of dollars that exchange hands between our government and Big Pharma to railroad the approval process.
So you have to get an annual shot. I mean, it hasn't been formally announced yet, because they don't want to, like, rile everyone up. So,
is it going to be formally announced?
Yeah, at some point. I mean, it's going to be, and some of it's been talked about publicly, but it has been talked about on, like, CNN or Fox or MSNBC or anything. You'll have to get an annual.
I think what's going to happen is it's going to be a gradual thing. School's going to mandate it.
Why do they need the third one?
Well, the same reason that you or I would need the third one, because the vaccine, it wanes.
Mm-hmm.
Your ability to fight it wanes. So the three will bolster your system. And then there will be an annual, eventually an annual, just like the flu shot.
For the toddlers?
Well, for everyone.
Okay, so the toddlers too, then. We'll have to get it
probably.
Annually. Okay.
I mean, that's in the future. We're not sure. Mm-hmm. That might involve more studies.
The FDA was scheduled to meet this week to discuss approval of the Pfizer vaccine for children as young as 6 months old. They were hoping to have the new vaccine available by the end of the month, but the meeting was unexpectedly canceled, citing the need for more testing.
You guys have been in the news a lot the last couple of days.
Yeah, we're looking at trying to approve. I don't completely agree with the process. they're looking at trying to inoculate kids under 5 years old, mm-hmm. between 6 months and 5 years old.
What do you mean you don't agree with the process?
Well, I mean, they don't have all the tests aren't there. So I agree with the thing that it is important to inoculate them. But you can't provide the parent as much assurity as you normally want to.
Despite Cole's concerns regarding the possible dangers of vaccinating young children, it seems the FDA is still willing to go through with this approval.
It's an EUA for all age groups, all designations, and then you have to get approved by specific age groups based on the study.
Do you think it's really an emergency? For the toddlers?
Well, they're all approved under an emergency, just because it's not as impactful as some of the other approvals, emergency approvals, but they're all being approved under that standard. The efficacy data doesn't have to be as high. The standard is on emergency use authorizations is that it does more benefit than harm.
So how do you know it's already getting approved?
Well, they're not going to, just from everything I've heard, they're not going to not approve it.
I thought their cases weren't that high for 6 months to 4-year-olds.
They're not, but because it's related to COVID, it's under that approval process.
So how many babies did they have to jab, basically, for the trial?
I don't know. I haven't looked at the trial, how many people they did. There's always a chance of long-term effects, especially with someone younger.
Cole seems certain the federal government will require annual COVID vaccines, including young children, even though the efficacy, adverse reactions, and long-term effects are still unknown.
It's hard to find, like, pregnant women for these studies, and a significant number in order to be statistically accurate. I haven't tested enough on pregnancy, on, you know, vaccines and everything, and women, because they have different, you know, systems than men.
And they haven't tested enough?
Well, they have, but they haven't done enough prior. Now they've also been, has been very good at promoting that, but that was an issue for a period of time.
Well, I feel like that's still an issue.
It is still an issue. We still haven't gotten there.
I read like a couple articles about it, and everything I saw was that the first two shots weren't effective.
There has been, yes, it has not been as effective as they're expecting. I agree.
Wow, ladies and gentlemen, think about that, right?
Raise some eyebrows. Just wait until you see what he says in part two about the billions of dollars exchanging hands between our government and Big Pharma and what really goes on behind the scenes during the approval process.
There's almost $1 billion a year going into FDA's budget from the people we regulate. If they can get every person required at an annual vaccine, that is a recurring return of money going into their company.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Whether he's accurate or not, time will tell about their real force, but we've been worried about this and telling you this forever. Now, he said besides the fact that there's not safety and efficacy data, the FDA will grant emergency authorization for children and eventually push for all of us to have an annual shot. The FDA said in a statement on the Project Veritas video that the person purportedly in the video, so they're trying to cast doubt that it's really him, if you will, that he also doesn't represent the views of the FDA. But Cole says that his role with the FDA is to ensure safety, security, and effectiveness in response to the pandemic. And he cited concerns over long-term effects of the vaccinations. Wow. Especially with somebody younger. When we come back, we'll put this in context with Dr. Scott Bradley on your radio.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Some of the peaceful Freedom Convoy protesters in Canada against COVID mandates by the Canadian government have been arrested. Leaders Chris Barber and Tamara Leach have been taken into custody. Tammy, a day before she was arrested, knew the repercussions for standing up for freedom.
I'll probably be going somewhere tomorrow where I'll be getting 3 square meals a day. And that's okay. I'm okay with that. And I want you to know that I'm not afraid. It is breaking my heart. You guys, I just want you to stay strong.
Ukraine accused Russia-backed separatists in the countries east of more ceasefire violations on Friday. Escalation in eastern Ukraine is further raising tensions between the Kremlin and the West. Moscow state media is reporting Russia's military will be conducting large-scale drills involving its nuclear forces starting Saturday. USA Radio News.
Fever is a potential sign of COVID or the flu, and the Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer has been proven accurate with more than 100 clinical studies. Be vigilant and seek medical advice at the first sign of fever. Be accurate with Exergen. Exergen Temporal Scanners, available at Walmart and other fine retailers. Learn more at Exergen.com. That's Exergen.com. Exergen is changing the way the world takes temperature.
Hola, Carla speaking.
Carla's Roofing Company always goes above and beyond.
Yeah, we heard about next week's forecast.
She needs a new foreman to weather a storm of projects.
You mean another full crew before Wednesday? Mira Jose, can you work Wednesday?
Indeed can help her hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. Instant Match instantly connects you with quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your sponsored job description. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Black Lives Matter is being slammed for posting bail on a man attempting a political assassination.
Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell is slamming the Louisville Black Lives Matter chapter for helping bail out an alleged shooter.
Less than 48 hours after this activist tried to literally murder a politician, the radical left bailed their comrade out of jail.
McConnell is referring to Quintez Brown, who's free on $100,000 bail after allegedly opening fire in the office of mayoral candidate Craig Greenberg. From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
Government funding was set to expire Friday. Thursday, the Senate voted 65-27 to pass a stopgap measure to avoid a government shutdown again. The resolution extends funding through March 11th and amplifies how Washington cannot come together to support a long-term budget. Thanks for listening. We appreciate it. We are USA Radio News.
I want to dedicate this song to Mr. Rupert Murdoch.
Live and on your radio, ladies and gentlemen, so James O'Keefe and his organization Veritas has literally released another video, a incredible detail video, I might add. Hidden camera. FDA executive exposes that Joe Biden intends to create annual vaccinations for us all, ladies and gentlemen. Dr. Bradley, your response.
You know, Veritas is a Latin word for truth, so their purported focus is seeking the truth, Project Veritas, seeking the truth. And it's interesting to me that when they do have these candid interviews with people that hold positions in the administration, we get some very damning evidence that this thing is a juggernaut. It's moving ahead. It's going to crush everything wherever it's going. It's going to take full power. And I think that we need to be very concerned about this and understand that these little insights should resolve us to stand with truth and resist these kinds of things. Back in, I think it was the 23rd of January in Washington, D.C., there was a rally that was put on by those that were trying to stand against the tyranny that, you know, masks and mandates and vaccines and all that kind of stuff. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. gave a he gave an interview there that I have recently looked at, and in that interview he talks very openly about why this big push for the children's vaccines. As was pointed out, this emergency use authorization thing is a very it's a fragile kind of thing. I mean, they say they do it so that you can get, the risks outweigh the potential benefit outweighs the risks. And we found that that's simply not the truth. It's a lie. It's a lie that it's safe and effective. It has proven, and they admit, well, it wasn't as effective as we thought. Oh, and by the way, thousands and thousands and thousands have died. Tens of thousands and tens of thousands and tens of thousands have had adverse reactions. And the government's own reporting process that has never been any evidence or studies or anything that would say it overstates anything. Every single one of them say they're vastly understating. So, whatever multiplier factor you use to say it indicates this many thousands of people have died, multiply that number by the factor to come up with what is probably a more realistic number of the deaths and injuries caused by this. And so this, it's not safe. It's not effective. The evidence, the government's own evidence indicates that. And so why in the world are they doing it on children? Kennedy gave a very insightful interview, and he said basically, they need to have the children. If it gets approved, FDA approved for the children, it protects the vaccine manufacturers against risk, because if the FDA approves it for children, then it just is a. It basically says, I don't care how old you are, if you take this vaccine, the agency that created it, the manufacturing plant, the company, whatever you want to call it, that created it is now protected by this shield that was signed by Ronald Reagan back in 1986 that says, no, they don't have any liability. You sue the government now, and the government is the one that defends the process. They have deep pockets. You might have noticed that. And ultimately and finally, it's very difficult to prevail against them. And in spite of the fact it's something like $4 billion have been awarded, the egregious violations that have happened, it's still a drop in the bucket compared to what really has been the adverse reaction to it. So that's why they need the children. If they get it approved for children, it will give a blanket and a shield and a protection against financial liability. And they're looking to be able to continue to do this and make their hundreds of billions of dollars every year. And they have the full force of government behind them, unconstitutionally. Government does not have any, nada, zero authority to enter these health issues. And read the Constitution, people. There is nothing in there that would say anybody could mandate these things. The legislature can't create it. I mean, we have legislators now that say, oh, the president stepped over his bounds. He's creating law. Yeah, he's attempting to. It's unconstitutional. But the legislature could not create a law that required it either. And
the reason why, ladies and gentlemen, the reason why is because they're chained down with the Constitution. There's no consent given by the governed. So the only just powers they have is what's, given consent by us. The Constitution doesn't give them any authority over those things. All they have is authority over what's defined in the Constitution. This simply is not there, Doctor.
It is not at all in any way, shape, or form. And we have these buffoons, and literally, that's the nicest thing I can say about them, that hold office, that claim the authority based upon the fact they hold an office that they can do what they're doing. And you look just at the news segment that came just before in regards to the little bump they gave in the authority to continue to operate in spite of the bankrupt basis of how they're doing things. I don't know the exact number. I pick 80%. I say 80% of everything that they do at the general government level is unconstitutional. Now, it may be 79, it might be 92. I don't know what it is, but it's a vast majority of what they do, and they continue to foster the idea that they can walk where they were never authorized to walk. The Constitution is a contract. It was created by the states and the people. They're the makers of that are the states and the people. They made the contract. The creation of the contract is the general government. The executive branch, the legislative branch, the judicial, they have nothing. They have no authority whatsoever to do anything other than what the contract authorizes them. They're the janitors that we hired, and I don't want to denigrate janitors, but just saying these are the people that carry out what duties they've been assigned, and they cannot. Think of a janitor that seeks to go into the board of directors meeting and reset the direction of the corporation. They'd be laughed out of the room. But here's people, buffoons, that sit at the head of the government, if you will, in the judgment seats, and they're attempting to reseat everything. They want to come into the board of directors office and carry out things that they're not authorized to do. It's not in the charter. The charter
it's
being
all
the Constitution.
True, but sadly, the churches that should be understanding this and highlighting this, they're literally doubling down. You got the churches and the media in bed with government on this. And the reason that I'm so focusing on the churches right now and the media on this is because, look, we could turn the tide and stop a lot of this. Okay, we could stop mandatory vaccinations if the churches would stand up and if we could take on the media, ladies and gentlemen. But Fauci now claims it's risky to even take masks off the kids. Dr. Bradley?
Well, you know, absolutely. And you look at Fauci, you say, and he has any credibility in whose mind? I mean, the man, the CDC, the National Institute of Health, the World Health Organization, the FDA, you tell me why anybody that has a synapse left in their brain would ever say, oh, yeah, I trust these guys. Oh, yeah. And you look at every single recall that happens of some drug that is proven to be unsafe and ineffective was all FDA approved. It's an incestuous operation where the pharma companies own not only the approval process, they own the medical schools that are become built basically pill pushers and vaccine pushers for the pharma companies. It's just appalling to me. And as you point out, the churches are protecting what they consider to be their turf. Oh, we're going to keep our temples, our synagogues, our chapels open, and we're all going to be happy. Never, ever in all of the history of mankind has capitulation, cowering, and going along to get along ever resulted in more freedom. If you look at whether to pick any tyrant you want, they move along, they continue to strengthen their position. And the churches should be wise enough to see this and say, they need to say, no, this individual God-given right to worship is the basis of the institutional establishments. If individuals lose these things, ultimately the institutions will. And the institutions are capitulating on gender issues and on economic issues and on medical issues. And they think they're feathering their nest. They're giving more ground away. Soon every protection will be wiped out. If you look at the old man from All Seasons, and if you want to hear the exchange between, well, I'll bring it up. You can talk about it if you want in a minute. But those things, every protection is being blown down, wiped out, and the churches are giving away their strength and their position. It's tragic and a travesty.
Ladies and gentlemen, I also ask, why does the church refuse to stand against abortion? I mean, they got policies against it, but they don't really stand against it. They don't even hardly mention it. Why?
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads, a divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Why does the church refuse to engage and stand against abortion? I know most churches, if you ask them, they'll say, oh, yeah, we're of course against abortion. It's bad, it's evil, it's wrong. But they don't really engage. They don't really take on the issue. Right now, we have an opportunity to reject Roe v. Wade at the Supreme Court, coming out hopefully in June, but we'll see. But churches aren't really making a big push right now. They're just kind of silent on the issue. This is what I'm talking about. It's where are we going to make a stand for truth, ladies and gentlemen? Where are we going to really double down on this stuff? Okay, and why are we hanging out those to dry who do stand up at every level? I'll give you an example. There's a headline that says Republicans push Biden to remove federal pandemic mandates. But that's a lie headline, because the headline right after it in another news source says this. Four Republican senators failed to show up on the vote for an amendment that would have defunded the remaining vaccine mandates coming from the Biden administration. Yeah, they failed on a 46-47 vote. Why? Because four key Republicans failed to show up for this thing, ladies and gentlemen. Senator Mitt Romney of Utah, Jim Inhofe of Oklahoma, Lindsey Graham, South Carolina, and Richard Burr of North Carolina. They didn't show up at all to the vote, ladies and gentlemen, so the Democrats won. So don't tell me the Republicans are trying to stop this. They're not. It reminds me of Obamacare. They said they were going to stop it, and they voted in the affirmative to do so over and over and over when they had control, well, of one house, but they knew that it would be shut down. The second they got control to really make it happen, none of them really engaged anymore. We have got hypocrisy through the media, through the church, and in the government like I have never seen before in my 50-plus years of life, Dr. Bradley.
Well, that's the problem we have, is that we're just, you've seen these, if you haven't maybe seen it in person, you've seen it on videos or something of a great swather going through the field, chopping down the wheat or the barley or corn or whatever, where they're harvesting it. And there's a wide swath that's being cut through the field. And what we're doing right now is we're allowing a huge swather to go through all of the protections that we have institutionalized, if you will, through the instrumentality of the Founding Fathers and under the inspiration of God. And what is happening is we're removing all the impediments that would ultimately and finally help us preserve our liberty. We're cutting down everything that we could use to help protect us, and the churches are instrumental in that. I would say go back and look at A Man for All Seasons, Act 1, Scene 7, where William Roper and Sir Thomas More have an exchange. And Roper is saying he'd cut down every law in England to get after the devil. And, you know, they're what they've done is demonized all of these, well, I don't know what you'd call them. They're the politically correct kinds of things that we have to be so sensitive to, and we have to bow and scrape and everything before. But anyway, by becoming sensitive to this, by taking away private property, by the way that the churches are involved in preventing any kind of improvement in the religious liberty thing and protecting it. And so Roper's kind of saying he'd cut down every law to get to the devil because of this perverse view of where the devil's out there. And Moore says, oh, and when the last law was down and the devil turned around on you, where would you hide, Roper? The law's all being flat. See, what we're allowing is the just the mowing to the ground every single safeguard we have, and are those at the highest places. You talk about these Republicans that were so cowardly as to make certain that they actually were the ones that caused the outcome that happened, because they were so cowardly that they wouldn't go in and take a stand for truth. And so, and you named the names. I mean, these people are supposed to be prominent, preeminent, first class, finest kind, best there is Republicans. Really? Are you kidding me? Now, the stand with truth, act in the way that upholds it, and the churches need to do that too. We are allowing a mowing down of everything that we hold sacred that ultimately and finally will allow the devil to prevail. And we've been down this path. If you're willing to understand and study history, you know, whether it's under Abraham Lincoln or Adolf Hitler or any of the great tyrants of history, the Maos and the Stalins, pretty soon there's no cover. There's no protection. And the churches
should
be
let me stop you there. The churches should be the ones to create that cover. The churches should stand up nobly, boldly, and independently. Look, in the early days of the country, that was done by the Black Robe Regiment. This can be done now if we have the integrity and the willingness and the honor and the morality, Dr. Bradley.
Well, if when these mandates, quote-unquote, again, I call them a quote-unquote because they are not law. They're a complete fabrication, a complete perversion of our constitutional process.
Yeah, the Declaration of Independence would call it pretend legislation, sir.
Absolutely. And a tyrant... It is unjust. They can't even hold office according to what they say in the Declaration of Independence. But the fact of the matter is, if the churches had said, "You're what? You're saying we can't get together and worship our God? You're saying that we can't assemble? You're saying that we are put on ice for a year and a half? Our temples can't be gone into? Whatever, you know, our synagogues, our chapels." If the churches had unified and said, no, you know, we'll make a decision as to what we're going to do. We're independent and able and capable of doing that. And so large institutions may have made a decision to do this or that or the other. They may have capitulated, but they made the decision. But here what we have is a blanket statement by government agencies that have no authority to do it. They're saying, no, you can't practice your religion. You can't worship your God. You can't assemble. You can't exercise your free speech. I mean, all of these things, if the religions had said, no, we will. And we will file a class action lawsuit against the governor over this. And if you got every single, I mean, every Christian segment of the society, every Jewish, every Muslim, this is not a sectarian kind of, oh, my religion believes this and yours can believe that. No, really, it's protecting all across the board. If these class action suits had been filed, I think the governors would have turned tail and run. They would have said, oh, did you misunderstand? I'm so sorry. No, we didn't mean you couldn't worship. No, sorry. Go on.
Amen. Now the churches are literally adding insult to injury because there are individuals who say, I want a religious exemption because I prayed to my God and the Spirit tells me through revelation, through the whisperings of God to man, if ye ask, let him ask of God, who will give it to all men liberally and abradeth not. It talks about in James, if you pray and ask God, he can let you know things, ladies and gentlemen. Don't believe anything to the contrary. That's biblical as all get out. Well, anyway, if I pray and the Lord tells me don't take the vaccines, I believe I have a religious exemption right there based on my right of conscience and my beliefs. But the churches, the religions of the day, the corporations that have tax-exempt status are going, no, you can't use, if you're a member of our religion, you can't use our religion or our corporate entity or whatever you want to say to get a religious exemption. No, how dare you? It's even silly that you're even asking that kind of crazy talk. Okay, so this is the problem, Dr. Bradley.
Well, absolutely. The churches are protecting their, you know, they're ducking and hiding for whatever reason. I guess I don't know, or I couldn't even possibly guess why. I think it's to curry favor and look like you're in the beauty contest for the Church of the New World Order.
But yeah, I think tax-exempt status has a lot to do with it personally.
Well, it does. But the fact of the matter is, it is an individual conscience thing. And if the people individually, we've talked about this before, Thomas Jefferson felt like he was a religion of one because his religious belief system was so unique. And he was criticized by many of the institutions of his day because, oh, he's not one of us, you know, kind of thing. So what? So what? If the institution takes a path and an individual takes a different path, it does not diminish the individual God-given right to have their own conscience and their own worship. There are several things that literally are critically important to be able to maintain liberty. One of them is private property, the free exercise, because the ability to exercise dominion over a man's subsistence is a control over the man, and that's talked about a couple of times in the Federalist Papers. The other idea is life. We've got to have life, and this idea of Roe v. Wade thing, it's a foregone conclusion. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The buffoons that can't see that, and then, of course, is conscience. If you cannot exercise your conscience, you are not free. Now, if you exercise your conscience to do things like murder other people or steal or whatever, that's wrong. It should be stopped. The problem we've got is that most people think that by pulling the levers of government, they can get their agent, the government, to steal from other people to fulfill the purposes that they want and redistribute the wealth. So now people have sought the control of the government levers in order to do that. And it's a very, very false, destructive approach. And when our legislatures met together and their agents are there working on their behalf to do that, it is destructive. So conscience and private property and life are all critical, and all of them are at risk right now because of actions of government. It's completely contradictory for what was originally established in this land. So we've got to say, no, government can't do this, and our religion, regardless of whatever their justification in their own minds is, we can't let them stand in our way. We've got to say, my religion, my belief system, as God has placed it in my heart, is telling me to go this way. Now, you look at religious exemptions in the military. They're virtually non-existent. I think that there's been like three in the whole Department of the Navy, you know, the Marine Corps and the Navy, and they were people that were already out processing.
And really quick, before the end of the hour, Dr. Bradley, another issue we need to stand against, abortion's one of them. These forced mandates is another one of them. Ability to go to church and worship, how, where, or what we may is one of them. This issue about not attacking individuals for free speech and for candid viewpoints, et cetera, is one of them. But this going to war, now you've literally got Joe Biden ratcheting up a war agenda that's immoral as all get out. We need to speak against this in hopes that we don't end up in a war, whether Russia invades Ukraine or not, sir.
That question came up in my webinar last night. We do a webinar. Anybody in the world can get on and ask questions. And this thing with the Ukraine, I spent probably 20 minutes addressing this issue. I wish there were time to do it. It is the most onerous burden any nation takes upon them. It has got it's banked and controlled, and there's deliberation and justice, all that's involved in it. And there is nothing but the failed administration of Joe Biden that's encouraging this to happen right now because he's trying to divert attention away from his failed policies. This is unjust, it's immoral, it's horrific, and we could go to war in one of the least just wars that has ever occurred in all of history. And
ladies and gentlemen, I believe that the churches need to stand up. The Black Robe Regiment needs to come to the rescue, and we the people need to understand it is about God, family, and country. We have a God-given right of conscience, and that ought to be protected like nobody's business. We also got to realize the five guarantees in the First Amendment are under threat at every turn, sadly, even by the churches. I pray for this country. I pray for the churches. I testify Christ lives, and he loves us. And obedience to his commandments is the key, is the answer, is the solution, no matter what anybody else tells you. Get on your knees, and God will verify that reality to you. For Dr. Bradley and Sam Bushman, God save the Republic.